Of Acts in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul is in Philippi. We see now that he has started a church with a bunch of ladies. And he is now discipling them. And I'm sure other people are added to the church, including men. But we see that the recording, and what Luke does, is tell us about two women. One very prosperous, powerful woman, and another slave girl who come to know the Lord as their Savior. And that's what we want to see. I mean, I want to see the rich and powerful saved. And boy, we get all excited when that happens. But we want to see those little slave girls or those children that look like they're totally hopeless. We want them to know, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. We pray that God will give us open doors in those areas. And so we begin now reading about the slave girl. And we see in verse 16, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain, and of course we, Luke is with them now. He says, we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude arose up together and cast them against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet to stocks. Now, Father, we pray that you will bless the reading and the preaching of your holy word this morning. Oh, Lord, we want to see that power. We want to realize, Lord, that in these last days, Satan is working overtime. We see people who are bound in sin, children that are being led off into horrible addictions. We see adults who are making profit off of the harming of children. We realize, Lord, that great warning that you give, that it's better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to sin. And yet, look, Father, we see it even in our city. We see these drag shows. We see all these horrible opportunities. The entertainment systems and all the things, Lord, that are directly aimed at our children. And oh, Father, we pray that you would protect our loved ones. We pray, Lord, I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for my children. Oh, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we see this. Nothing new is under the sun. There's always someone who's willing to exploit the innocent for gain. And so, Father, as we see a country that is going downhill, where you were taking the gospel to Philippi and lifting them up, we see a country that is consciously rejecting you, a world that is shaking their fist in your face. Oh, Father, how we pray that you would allow us to be that light in darkness. Lord, how we pray that you would turn people to yourself. We pray that you would protect our children. Oh, Father, send revival. Send consciousness to a nation to love their children. Thank you again for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, over the last 5 years, it's been just appalling what we have seen in our country. back in last year, in October of 2022, there was a report that came out, and a lot of because of the emails and so forth, and some of the inner workings of Vanderbilt University down in Tennessee, which is a conservative was one of the conservative cities or conservative areas of the country, with a more or less conservative college, private college, in the middle of a Southeastern Conference. And yet their medical school put out some materials that became public. And that was, they now have begun a gender-affirming hospital there in Memphis, or Nashville, I think is where the school is. And one of the things that one of the people said about this gender-affirming, in other words, taking children and transforming them from boys to girls and all that stuff, and they said, well, this is one of the great ways of making money in the future. Now, I'll put it in my words. In other words, there's a great profit in what we're wanting to do. I'm saying, my word, here you have the leading educators of our country today. Harvard and Yale are doing that. University of Pennsylvania, all these schools that are, if you say that you are against this, these poor girl swimmers. And they're saying, we don't want to do it. Well, you keep your mouth shut. We're doing it. And then all of a sudden, you got these guys that couldn't make it on a swim team with males. And the fourth and fifth and sixth stringers couldn't even make it on the team if they were sixth streamer, if that's what they were. And yet they're winning the national championships and all this kind of stuff. And they're denying reality that girls and guys are different. Now, we look at that, and I look at it, and I see they're directly opposing what God says, where male and female made he them. And so the devil is coming in. Our country and our education system, our government, is rejecting our Lord today. And so they're going through the Bible and saying, okay, this is what God says, so we're going to do just the opposite. It's like a politician who comes and says, I don't like what the first one of my predecessor did, so I'm going to do just the opposite that he did. And we've got a president like that right now. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. It's just I'm going to do the things differently than he did. And so we see that we are living in an age where our children are under great attack. I mean, I've got grandchildren that go to a school in Virginia. It's a public school. And my teenage granddaughter tells me that you don't tell people that you are straight. Now, they got all these terms. You just say that you're bi, which means that you'll go either way morally or whatever. I'm saying, how can we do this? How can we put a little 14, 15-year-old girl under that much pressure and have it advocated by the teachers and by the administrations? How can we have a government that is actively paying an American Medical Association now that has gone that route? And American pediatric children that are going that route. And now we're seeing children that are being mutilated and destroyed. And their bodies are totally altered before they're even 6 years old. All for money. And all for the devil. When we reject God, folks, we become fools. But proclaiming themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And we're destroying. And it's got this to the point today, folks, that I'm almost praying. I'm not a doomsdayer. But I'm saying, Lord, you're going to have to destroy this country to protect our kids. I mean, what the next generation going to do? So we're living in some horrible days. And here we see that this is nothing new we have here. Paul going to an idolatrous city, and we have him now preaching the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, the devil's going to raise his head, and all these false gods and all these things. So, folks, these were diabolical. These were satanic gods. That's Apollo and Zeus and all that. We look back out on Greek mythology. Their whole makeup was perversion. Their gods could make a good soap opera. So-and-so kill so-and-so for so-and-so and all that. But here we have a young girl. She was a slave girl. That tells us that just the society. Her parents, where were they? Was she captured? Was she sold by her parents into slavery? We got families today, parents today, that are openly getting their kids' their genders changed at 5 years old. I'm saying, my word, you foolish mom or dad. There's a situation in Texas right now where a man is fighting because his wife is wanting to convert her children to a different gender and alter them, and they're not even 10 years old yet. And you're saying, what is happening to our adults, let alone our children? We have these things now where grown men dress up like women and go and show their genitals to a bunch of children in a library. I mean, you say, well, I don't even like to use those terms, but folks, we're getting into a horrible situation in this country. And I look at this and we see that Paul, he was preaching the word. And folks, I tell you, whenever we preach the word these days, it's going to start costing us something. Because now those who will oppose these type things, since they've gotten into the government and everything, we are the terrorists. We are the ones causing the troubles. We are the ones who, how can you defy us? And so we say, woe unto the man who calls good evil and evil good. But we're there today. But when God says woe, you better woe. And so we see now that God is talking. And here this poor girl, whatever her background was, Luke doesn't tell us, but she had some horrible masters, a group of men that had a hold of her. They were merchants. And they made their little idols, and they were able to sell them. Nothing new about this. Ephesus had the same problem, that it's going to cause a riot because these people were going to lose their money whenever Christianity got in there and started taking away their income. So we see a riot here in Philippi, and we'll see later on in Ephesus. The same scenario happens over again. Folks, if the gospel gets into some of these schools, if the gospel gets into some of these areas today, there's going to be a lot of money lost if a lot of kids get saved and a lot of parents get right. Planned Parenthood is a multi-million dollar operation. We just talked about some of these medical things are up. The fentanyl thing is being controlled even by some of our politicians today that are making money off of it. And it's directed totally to our kids. Disney is going totally woke with all this garbage of teaching little boys and girls. And now they're putting all kinds of perversions into their stories that we used to think were innocent, or they were innocent. And now they're injecting that into our children's minds when they're 2 and 3 years old. We're living, folks, God spare us. God help us. And we see that these men were like Disney. They said, hey, listen, this is the way to make money. We'll make money through this girl. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about her life. She's probably a good-looking girl. She probably could sing. She's probably a good entertainer. Now, we do know that the Bible tells us that she was religious because she had the spirit of divination. Now, it's interesting. Most of our English translations don't tell us what that means. The word there is Python, or she was a Pythonian or whatever. That was a god of one of those Greek gods. And he, or whatever he was a snake, but he protected the temple of Apollo. Now, the temple of Apollo had all the temple prostitutes, and of course you go there to worship. And when you worship there, of course, you got into all kinds of the worship of the flesh and not of the spirit. And so this was a very popular god because, after all, I mean, you could have a lot of fun with this god. And folks, we're seeing that in our churches today. How in the world can a church call itself a Christian church? How can a denomination even call itself a denomination and say we're going to vote on whether perversion is right or wrong? Folks, there's no voting there. God says it's an abomination. And those people that are voting for it have already gone too far. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, there's a lot of American Christians that are hanging on to their churches simply because mom and dad or somebody else, or it's a tradition, and they need to come out of those churches that are preaching perversion. We got a church right here in town that flies the rainbow flag. I won't have any fellowship with them. Can't have it. There's no compromise there. In fact, I'll condemn. If she wants to talk to me, I'll talk to her, the pastor there. But there again, folks, we've got to stand against some of these things. We've got to realize that there are going to be people, hey, you're just causing problems today. You're just old-fashioned. Hey, this is the new way of doing things. Look at all the intelligentsia today is going this route. Hey, the government is going this route. And unfortunately, it's getting into our families, and now our families are saying, you are a nut because you're not going along with this. But look at our families and look at the horribleness and the sadness and the debauchery and the just the absolute misery that so many of our families are in today because we're accepting this into our society. And there's a lot of money in it, folks. And so the casino crowd's making a whole lot of money. The Hollywood crowd's making a whole lot of money. The medical crowd, even the government crowd, you can make a whole lot of money these days on just promoting the right things in government. There's all kinds of money under the table. And so we see this is exactly what's happened to this poor girl. And so she was one of these, she had this idea, the fortune telling was the word there, we get the word mimic from. She, the idea here was that she would be, something would come over her, and all of a sudden people realized that maybe she was, you know, some spirit had come over her, demon possession. But she could say all kinds of things that would sound very intelligent about the future. And as a result, people were saying, wow, this is pretty good. Folks, whenever you're sold yourself to the devil and you're living with all kinds of sin and immorality in your life, you can be tricked by about anything. And here we see that these people were easily tricked. And the more they were tricked, the more the guys who were making the money off of this woman, this poor girl, were doing well. I look at some of these poor girls that grew up in Hollywood. And they hit 13 or 14 years old, and all of us, they're all popular, and they've got the Barbie doll type of thing. And then they hit about 17 or 18, but then they want to really declare what a woman they are, and so they turn into a slut. And all of a sudden, and I don't like using this, but folks, this is where we are today. And the more that they become that type of behavior, the more money they make. And how sad it is. And I won't start mentioning names, but you can name them yourself. But here this poor girl was probably, she could have been right up there with them. And all kinds of people were making money off of her. But she was miserable. But notice what she did preach. She did say, and so it was a testimony. She said, these servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation. Now that was the right message. But folks, beware when the devil starts preaching the gospel. Because the devil isn't in it to save souls. He's in it to lead people away from the person who can save souls. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in my generation, one of the things that really opened the doors to so many of the false gospels were the Beatles. And I think back of George Harrison. And they all went to India. And they got under these gurus and all the stuff over there. And a lot of their music reflected that. And George Harrison wrote a song that became extremely popular. And I remember dealing with people about it. Hey, listen, George Harrison is a Christian. Look, he's wanting people to be a Christian. My sweet Lord. But Joe, I was reading something this past week about him. And he said, no, I was wanting to mix Christianity with Hinduism. And so I was. And so if you listen to that song at the very end, he's not talking about my sweet Lord. You listen to the end of it. And those background singers are saying Hare Krishna and other gods that are mentioning there. So be careful when people start talking about Jesus Christ. We've got to be discerning because the devil knows there's a Jesus and they tremble. After all, there was a false prophet who came along, and even the demon said, "We know Paul, and we know Jesus, but we don't know you." And so the devils know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tremble, and yet they can mimic him, because they're not there to proclaim him; they're there to confuse people about who he is. And so notice, we know that the devil back in chapter 14 of Isaiah said, "I want to be like the Most High." And that's the term he used. Two times that we see in the Bible that God is called the Most High God. One is there, and the other is back with Melchizedek. He was the servant of the Most High God. Now, that was legitimate, but Satan wanted to be the Most High God. And so here this girl is talking about the Most High God. Well, I've dealt with false prophets. I think of early in my ministry, I ran into the Moonies. And I went to one, I didn't realize what it was, but I went to a meeting that was political and was supposed to be, you know, they were going to talk about the issues of the day. And I started watching, and all of a sudden I realized these people weren't preaching. They're talking about God, but they weren't talking about the God that I knew. And the more I talked to them, and there was this very, very nice, wealthy lady, you could just tell by the way she was dressed, walked up and started talking to me. And she told me that she had studied under Norman Rockwell and his son, and she was an artist. And she was a very intelligent lady. But the more I talked to her, the more, and she was talking about how that she was so concerned about America and about how that we've got to get God back in the schools and all these different things. And the more I talked to her, I said, there's still something weird about this. And so here I was, a pastor, and I'd never had seen something so close to Christianity, and yet something was telling me it was dead wrong. And come to find out, the more I talked to her, she was one of these people that Sun Yat Moon had taken in. Remember those great mass weddings that they would have, and baptisms where they would take and baptize 1,000 people in a swimming pool and all those different things? Well, she was married to a Korean who had come over and set up a colony for the Moonies right there in on the Gulf Coast of Alabama at the time. But the more I talked to her, and then the more I talked to her, they believe in God, but when you started talking about Jesus Christ, it was a different story. And notice this, they use God's name. Hey, he's a servant of the Most High God, but I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of him. So I talked to these men, the one thing I learned to do is just come out, is Jesus Christ God? And two guys, and she would send all kinds of missionaries. These guys would, remember the flowers they would have out there? They would sell flowers. They would sell pictures. And all. Well, she would send those guys by to talk to me. And I said, sometimes I would just pretend I wasn't there if I didn't have my car out front. But is that a lie? I don't know. But anyway, I learned, I said, and hit it directly. I said, is Jesus Christ God? And the guy said, well, he is a God like we are. And I said, no, is Jesus Christ God? And they wouldn't say they would. I said, if Jesus Christ is God, one of us here is going to heaven and two of us are going to hell. And so that's the last time I saw him. But they didn't want to hear the true gospel. But they could come very close to making you think that they were Christians. So beware. Beware of the people who go out and sing at the casino and then go to a church and sing the next day. Be careful of the person who owns a massage parlor and can go to church and be a deacon or a paid preacher. All kinds of things that we're seeing today that are just totally, the world has invaded the church so much today that, folks, you can't tell a legitimate church or denomination from those who aren't anymore. How sad. Why? Because we've allowed Satan and his cronies to deceive us to who Jesus is. Paul knew. I mean, if this girl, now it's kind of interesting. Why did Paul allow this girl to come around? So notice she did it for many days. He didn't just do it immediately. I think maybe he had a little bit of sorrow for the girl. I think maybe he was wondering, what was going on or whatever, but it took a while for him, maybe, I don't know, to kind of identify what was going on. But when he did, he hit it head on. Folks, what do you think of Jesus Christ? If anybody that you're talking to calls themselves a Christian and will not proclaim unreservedly that Jesus Christ is God, then you know that they've got problems. And you cannot have sweet fellowship with them. You better keep them at arm's length. You want to get them saved, but at the same time, those people, if you allow them, they will lead you away from your Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we've seen in our country today. And the things that are going on in Vanderbilt University are going on in our churches today. Because we have allowed it. And how sad to see that this is the perversions that are going on. And so we see that the demons knew God. And I gave you several verses there. Mark chapter 24 or chapter 3 verse 24 and other places where the Lord, he dealt with them. And they knew it. James tells us in James chapter 2, thou believest there is one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. And so, folks, we want to keep Jesus Christ out there. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our anchor. And Jesus Christ is our foundation. And that cannot be compromised one bit. But did Jesus Christ die for your sins? Did he alone die for your sins? Again, I think about those early days. There was an entertainer named Andre Crouch. And he's saying about, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. But I read his testimony. And he said, some people believe in Buddha and some people believe in Confucius, but we believe in Jesus. But we're all going to heaven. Folks, that is heresy. And it doesn't matter how popular he became as a singer and going around to all kinds of churches and singing that pablum. That is, of course, it's attractive music. And yet it will lead you down to perdition. And here we see that this girl was saved unequivocally because the Lord Jesus Christ was preached to her uncompromisingly. And so no, the devil doesn't like that. And Satan can't put up with it. And that's why there's always, whenever you come out strong against the Lord, or for the Lord, that is why Satan, he might back off. And notice he backed off here with this girl. But he got back in the back lines and counterattacked. And he went through some other people. And so we see in verse 19, he says, but when the masters saw their hope for profit was gone, they didn't care a thing about that girl. They didn't care anything about, except what they were pimps. They just made money off of her. But whenever they were, I wonder if they would have thrown her out on the streets because she wasn't worth anything to them anymore. But they knew how, the devil knew how to get with these men. Who were the most evil people here? I mean, folks, that millstone was hung around those men's necks. And folks, there's a lot of people in America that are going to suffer the judgment of God. It's better for a millstone to be hung around a neck and cast into the uttermost parts of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to sin. Jesus said that. So if you know people who are making money or hurting children, then in one way, it makes me upset with them. But another thing makes me pity because judgment's coming upon them. And there's and some of the most severe judgment is going to come upon a man or a woman that hurts children and leads them off into perdition is reserved for those who will do that such a thing. And so God has a special anger for those who hurt children. I pity some of these librarians. I pity some of these administrators and some of these universities. I pity some of these doctors that are proclaiming this kind of garbage. I pity them, and yet I must stand against them unequivocally because they're destroying our children. and leading them off into all kinds of things. Can you imagine a little four-year-old girl or boy growing up in a situation like that, not knowing whether they're a girl or a boy? Can you imagine the confusion of that? Here's my pronouns. I'm a he today. I'm going to be a she tomorrow. They don't even know what they're talking about. There was a teacher that I was reading about that she gave her fourth grade children all these about 10 or 12 different gender types and said, which one are you? Are you male, female? Are you bi? Are you trans? There's all kinds of terms. I don't like to bring them up. And so are you non-binary? All these folks, that is nothing but out of the pits of hell. Male and female made you. And every chromosome in your body tells you that God created you and you didn't have a choice about it. And your mind cannot change it. It's not mind over matter. Whatever God made you, you're that. And I praise the Lord for you ladies. I praise the Lord for some good for men. But folks, we are not different. And if you see me dressing in a dress next week, you better kick me out of church. But, those are just unequivocal things that I want our men to be men. And the more this gets into it, the more manly I want men to be. And the more that I want ladies to show their femininity. And not their sexuality, but their femininity. So here we see that these devil counterattacked. And he got the magistrates. It's interesting. He said they brought them to the magistrates. The word magistrate is an interesting word. Luke was so concise in what he says. And he uses a Latin term here, lictors. And that was a Roman term for a magistrate. And that's where we get the word today, you got in your licks or whatever, when you hit somebody. Well, it's from this term here. And so Luke was extremely concise and perfect when he wrote and was inspired of God to write the perfect word of God. And so we notice that these men claimed they did. These men being Jews, anti-Semitism, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us. Rome at this time was very tolerant to the Jews. After all, look at how many synagogues were in these Roman cities that we've already talked about, or at least Roman-controlled cities. Look how many people from all walks of life could go, and as long as you didn't cause any trouble, then you were tolerated by the Roman government. And there weren't enough Jews in Philippi to even create a problem. They didn't have 10 men in a city of several thousand that could even form a synagogue. So here was a false accusation to these magistrates. But they're causing all kinds of trouble. Folks, we're the troublemakers today. That is sad. Here, all my life, I grew up on a busted home. And I wanted to have, and I praise God, He has allowed me, He got me saved, He got me growing in the Lord, and He set my values that I married a girl that really helped me out in knowing what a family was all about. And now I'm weird. Now I'm, the very thing that I want to see others do, and how I'm so glad that God did for me, is the very thing that the devil and his crowd today and the government of our country is trying to destroy. The family is under attack. How sad. And I'm a troublemaker because I stand against this perversion. I got people right here in town. In fact, Al was with me one time. We were just talking and something came up about abortion. And a waitress just really let me know what she thought of it, just right out in the middle of everything. Well, I didn't, of course, I'm not there to fight waitresses. But at the same time, what do we do in these situations? I'm sure glad I wasn't a policeman. But that's coming. And so we see the things that are happening today. But that's why we see that it will be a price. These men, we'll look at it next week, paid a price. Now, Paul and Silas, it's interesting. The Bible tells us earlier that Silas was a prophet. Barnabas wasn't a prophet. It's interesting how that Timothy and Titus and Luke didn't get beat on. They weren't out front. But these prophets were the ones who would go in and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And like Elijah and others, they were the ones who suffered the persecution. So the focal point was on the preachers. And so these men went in. And so notice Barnabas, when Paul was stoned and left for dead, Barnabas wasn't stoned. But here, Paul and Silas were both prophets, and both of them are beaten with these old rods. These rods were kind of like a fishing pole, was very elastic. And so whenever it hit you, it would wrap around your body. And you can imagine what that would feel like. And they were beaten and thrown into prison. I have not suffered anything like that so far. I hope I don't, but there are many people who have. We talked about the martyrs that are going to be in heaven. That God has a very special place for them that have suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one verse that haunts me is Philippians 3:10, where Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." I love that part. But that's where I want to stop. Because the next part says, "And the fellowship of his sufferings." I'm saying, whoa, being made conformable unto his death. Whoa, Lord, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm no martyr. I'm not preaching this so that I can get beat on next week. I hope I don't. I'm a chicken. You know, I'm like you. I don't, you know, I'd not rather people love me than hate me. I'd not rather for people to invite me to dinner than spit on me. And yet, am I willing to stand for the Lord, even if it cost me my reputation and my wealth and my health, because I stand for him? I don't know what God has for us in the future, but the Bible does tell us that they who walk godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And folks, if our country keeps going the way it does and the Lord doesn't come soon, this church and others like us are going to be the troublemakers in our city. Are we willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, this poor girl. I listened to a testimony of a young girl who came out of drugs, how that she had had several abortions, and how that she was marvelously saved. And what a blessing it was. But really, you go back and you look at many of the things that happened in her life. She had to escape the people that put her in those positions. And today, is she celebrated among the feminists? Is she celebrated? No. People who like that are the troublemakers, and they reject those people outright. Hey, I'm the survivor. I survived all those things. No, you're just shut up and get out of the way. Let us make other people miserable like we are. How sad to see. But there's hope. And I still love the fact that this young girl, one day we're going to see her in heaven. Isn't that great? It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. But folks, we've got to stand for the Lord. We can't let Satan and his adversaries destroy our testimony. We've got to be careful about who's preaching the gospel. This whole idea today, and my time is running short, I'm hoping that revivals are happening. You hear about these revivals that are happening in some of these schools. I hope that's the case, because there's a couple of those schools that revival is happening were horribly liberal. And I will believe this is true revival if there's going to start being trouble, because many of those professors are landed professors. I mean, they have, what do they call it? The word escapes me right now. Tenure. They got tenure. And you start affecting their money, and you're going to have problems. And so if I start seeing some real turmoil happening in the administrations of some of those schools, I'll say, well, maybe this is true revival. Or some of those kids are going to get kicked out for truly accepting the Lord as their Savior. I want it to come. I hope Satan can be overthrown in our government. I want him to be overthrown in our city. I want him to be overthrown in our schools. But if it doesn't, then we will suffer persecution. But is the war worth it? We are in a war. Satan's playing for keeps. Are we willing to fight the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ? Going before him, let's pray. Father, not an easy message to preach or to even practice. Lord, I and each one of us here, thank you for your blessings, the good health, the comfortable homes, warm cars that we were able to come to church in, bank accounts. You've been so good to us. A lot of people who love us. The worst thing that happens to us many times is just somebody doesn't like that we know you, but we've never suffered bodily or socially for our faith in you. But Lord, I don't want to pray. And I have to honestly say, I do not want the fellowship of your sufferings. I don't want to be made conformable unto your death. But Lord, we pray that as we would go forward for you, realizing that it may cost us, but are we willing to stand for you? Are we willing to suffer rejection from our family? Are we willing to love you with all of our heart, with all of our minds, with all of our strength? Lord, use us. And we know that there's going to be opposition out there, because when the gospel goes forth, Satan is going to counterattack. Use us, Lord. May we be more than victors through him. Just so. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.